Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Friend of mine, I've known him for years and years and years, friend of this show, Todd Jones, formerly with the Columbus Dispatch, now working with Ohio State University, working with the Alumni Magazine, left the paper 4 years ago. But if you want flavor of Columbus, if you want to understand the culture of Ohio State, this is your guy, Todd Jones, joining us. How do you like that intro?
John, the check is in the mail.
Give me
so good to hear from you, man. It's been a while.
Been a long time. Let's first talk kind of Ohio State football as a culture. I've been there. I've covered games there. You walk into the parking lot. I don't think you really can understand it until you see it. But help us understand how important Ohio State football is in that region.
Well, I think it's so ingrained in the culture of the state of Ohio. I mean, we're talking well over 100 years of history, 120 21 something. And I think the game of football is so important here that in the success over the years, all those years, great teams, great players, great coaches, it just becomes such a point of pride for the entire state. And I think now it's interesting. It's one thing that you can count on unifying people in an age when we're all so divided. And so I think there's this whole almost like religion type thing with these ritualistic things that go on during game day. And it's quite a scene. It's quite colorful. There's all kinds of pageantry and, over 100,000 people in an ancient stadium, which itself is going to be 100 years old next year. It just makes for a special type of place.
It's been so successful, too. I mean, just when you look at Ohio State football in the last decade, last 15 years, whether it's Urban Meyer or Ryan Day, they just have won and won and won. Can you remember a time when Ohio State didn't have sort of the challengers that it normally has in the Big Ten? Like, what's happened to Michigan State? And you look at Michigan, and, I think a little bit looking over at Alabama now and Clemson instead of within the own conference.
Well, I think what's happened is over the years, the Ohio State's longevity is high school football in the state of Ohio. I mean, it's such a, part of the culture. And high school football has been the bedrock of the program. And that's why it's never really had a dip. It's never had two consecutive losing seasons in, forever. And I think what has happened in the last 25 years is they've taken that bedrock, and not only have they put a fence around the state and kept Michigan and Michigan State, from getting the players that they used to get out of the state, they've also taken their own recruiting national. And they're getting guys from all over the place. Now, they used to get some, and everybody has to, but I think they're getting more and more of those national guys. And so you've got like a more of a national program instead of just a Midwestern program. And that's why, they really had it humming the last 20 years.
You worked as a columnist, and, you covered football there. And what was that like? Because the fan base, I'm getting emails from Buckeye fans who are talking trash to me, and I'm like, look, man, I don't know you. Like, why are you writing me? And they've hunted me down, Jonesy. They've found me. What was it like to cover and write critically about that program at that time?
Well, it certainly was interesting, especially if you're trying to do your job right and, lay out the facts and write it with some authoritative, voice. There was a lot of slings and arrows even back before the Twitter days. And, but again, it's the passion. There's keyboard courage out there, as you well know. But, I think a lot of times it's just the passion just spilling over. It just never stops here. It's really an interesting dynamic. I mean, you have a city like Columbus, and I think on the outside people think it's a little sleepy college town like Bloomington or Tuscaloosa. But Columbus has 2 million people. It's a big city. And it's growing like crazy. And yet at its heart, it is a small college town. And so you get this mixture of, small town, feel, but, big stage zeal. And because of that, it just never stops. And, you know, you can any day of the year, if you start talking about Ohio State football on the radio or TV or write about it, you're going to get attention. So with that comes the people who think you're an idiot. And, you know, I often was. But, hey, that's all right. They call me out. My opinion was just my opinion, right?
Todd Jones, longtime Columbus Dispatch columnist, now with Ohio State's Alumni Magazine. He's got a podcast as well. What's the podcast? You're interviewing sports writers. I like this.
Well, it's interesting. You know, I'm a history buff, and one of the things I wanted to do was reconnect with veteran sports writers. I'm in my mid-50s, and I wanted to get guys who were in their 60s, 70s, and even older. Just try to get them on the record about what their careers are like, because sports media has obviously, like so many things in our life, has changed. And I wanted to document what it was like to do a job at a certain time when you had a lot of access. So the name of it is Press Box Access. And we get guys like Bob Ryan, Jerry Eisenberg, Christine Brennan. We get them from all over the country just telling us about who they met, what wrote about, what it was like to be at some of the most iconic, you know, moments in sports history. So, you know, we got Mark Purdy talking about what was it like to be in the arena when the Miracle on Ice happened, you know, and it's been a lot of fun, and the stories have been great, and it's been a nice side project to my regular gig. Here I am trying to talk, and I'm trying to do an audio thing, and I can't talk.
Yeah, we could always tell the story of you and I in the Athens Olympics going to the sleepy college town of Marathon in Athens. Oh. And like two jackasses attempting to run a marathon with no training, we end up hitchhiking. I don't know if you remember this. We got picked up by like 220-something girls who were wearing bikinis who said, "Hey, we're going to the beach," and we said, "We are too."
Yeah.
We ended up at the beach.
I don't think that part made it into my column because I don't think my wife would have appreciated the detail of that. But I just remember that as one of my all-time favorite days, just to hang out with you. But it was so weird, so bizarre. It was like 110 degrees, you know, and we're hitchhiking through Greece, you know, tracing the marathon route. And we both end up writing about it, and it's been a memory of mine that'll never go away.
I think it was interesting, too, because when we got into the various cars that picked us up, and Grant, the girls who were going to the beach, they had no interest in us. They were just going to the beach, and they were like, yeah, we'll give you a ride. But different hitchhiking culture in Europe. But it when we got in the various cars, it was interesting that nobody quite knew the story of Marathon, the original Marathon. Like, there were different versions. Like, everybody had a different version. You know, Phippides died. No, he ran back. No, he ran to Troy. No, it was like, you know, it was like being on social media.
Yeah, it really was. It's like the ancients had their own version of Twitter, you know,
yes.
Social media. And by the time the story got back to whatever the truth was, there's all kinds of versions. So we got to almost experience that in real time, you know, relive ancient history by hitchhiking and getting rides from these Greeks who are like, who are these two crazy American guys?
Yeah. I will never forget, like, at the end, as we finally made it back to Athens, people looking at us because partly because of the language barrier, partly because we looked wiped out, and looking at us going, you guys just ran from Marathon? And we were trying to explain, no, we walked and ran for about 5-6 miles, and then we hitchhiked after that.
Yeah, oh, exactly. Right? I mean, you know, 5 miles was about as far as I was going to go anyway, but when it's 110 degrees, and then you got people picking you up in bikinis, I think we're going to start hitchhiking.
Todd Jones is with us. You've covered all kinds of events. You've worked at the, you know, as a contributor at the New York Times, Sports Illustrated, ESPN, Cincinnati Magazine, you know, obviously at the Columbus Dispatch, wildly successful. How is sort of the reader or fan base different with Ohio State than maybe some of the other places that you've written?
Well, I think, again, it gets back to the culture of Ohio. There's so much pride in the state. And so, you know, you better be on your game when you're writing about it. You better be knowing what you're talking about, because there's people who know just as much as you out there, and they're everyday fans. I think the passion makes it a lot of fun when you're writing for them on a daily basis, because, you know, you're going to be read. You're going to be heard. And, you know, there's nothing like covering a bad team and nobody really cares. You know, I did some of that with the Cincinnati Bengals for years.
Yeah,
but you do it on a program that's so successful and has so much passion around it. It was just like you were in the eye of the storm at all times. And as a writer, you wanted to be read, and you knew that they were going to read what you were writing, and that was great.
Give us an idea of what you're doing with the magazine now, as you know, you are working with the alumni magazine. So how much of that crosses over maybe into some sports, and how much of it is just writing about regular Buckeyes who have gone on to do other things?
Well, most of it is writing about alums outside of sports. I write a little bit of sports, but not a whole lot. We're a quarterly magazine, and, you know, so I just wrote about an engineer from General Motors. I wrote about a magician who's famous in his field around the world. You know, I write about a lot of business people. It's different. It's storytelling in a different way. But it's still fun. You still get the interview. I still get to learn. You know, I get to talk to people. I was talking to one of the world's great soil scientists and who works at Ohio State. And so I'm learning about things that I never really had to pay much attention to. So it's been educational and fun in that way.
I love that. Todd Jones with us, formerly of the Columbus Dispatch. He's got a podcast now that you can check out. And you can also read him as he writes for the Alumni Magazine at Ohio State. I wrote earlier this week about an Ohio State alum who's living in Oregon. He's got the personalized license plates, Ohio State, and
right.
He has been getting people, honking at him, waving their hand at him. It's like all of a sudden he's relevant. But there's something about, like, when you're from that region of the country, I don't think transient people understand, like, sort of the connection that people have when they have sort. You know, is it our family's structure? Is it stronger in that region? Do you have more blue-collar people? Like, help me understand, like, the connection that people have to that region.
I think a lot of it is Midwestern. The Midwestern people, you know, people are a little more outgoing in terms of being receptive and kind to new folks. And you have 600,000 living alumni. And so they're everywhere, you know. And no matter where you go, you're going to run into an Ohio State fan. And I think the people who were born and raised in Ohio and go to university – It's their like hometown feel. But when you come in from out of state and you attend Ohio State, you kind of get swept up into that, and you feel part of something bigger than yourself. And I think the pride and the success of football just translates into other areas of the university that people talk highly about, you know, their school, wherever they go. So no matter where I've been in my travels, I inevitably will cross paths with an Ohio State alum.
All right, Jones, you've agreed to stick around for multiple segments. I want to ask you about the Oregon-Ohio State National Championship game in 2015, but I'm going to do it after the break. More with Todd Jones, former sports columnist at the Columbus Dispatch, podcaster, sports writer, friend of this show. I'll ask him about that. Plus, should this game even be played? Or what's it like for an opposing team to walk into Ohio Stadium? More with Todd Jones next. Jones, former sports columnist, Columbus Dispatch, friend of this show, man of the world, podcaster, has been kind enough to stick around for a second segment to give us flavor of Columbus, Ohio. Because I think one of the things that we're not all grasping is what it's like to walk into Ohio Stadium as a visiting team. And I think one of the things that a lot of us struggle with, and Todd, I think you can attest to this, is sort of the big picture of 100,000 people. Like, you say 100,000 people, but I think it's different when you walk into the parking lot or you see the stadium. I know I've been there several times as a visiting media member, but I first want to go back. Let's jump in a time machine. Let's go back to the Marcus Mariota years. Let's go back to the Urban Meyer years. Mark Helfrich is the coach at Oregon. Urban Meyer's the coach at Ohio State. Let's take a trip back in time.
Snap to Jones out of the shotgun. Hands it Elliott straight ahead, and he's found a hole. Elliott on the move to the 20, to the 15, to the 10, 5. Touchdown Ezekiel Elliott of Ohio State. 33 yards to the house for Ezekiel Elliott. His 15th rushing touchdown of the year, and Ohio State a point after from tying this game. They trail 70 to the Oregon 1. Snap to Jones, fakes the handoff, looks to throw. Tosses in the end zone, and it is a catch on a touchdown for Nick Vanette. The tight end slipped into the left corner of the end zone and gets his fifth touchdown catch of the year. Cardale Jones with his seventh touchdown pass of the season. And Ohio State has their first lead of the night, 13-7. Fourth and goal. Ducks of the Ohio State 3. Al Marshall breaks out of the backfield. Mariota the snap. Mariota gives to Tyner, and Tyner pushing forward. Tyner still pushing forward. No signal yet. And he did not get into the end zone on fourth down. Ezekiel Elliott in the backfield to the right of Cardale Jones, who's getting it under center. Takes the snap, goes straight ahead, and slips into the end zone. It looked like Oregon had him bottled up at first, but Jones spun to the right and went into the end zone, and he gets the touchdown. Ohio State 20, Oregon 7. Marshall motions into the backfield. Hand off Elliott on a left angle, runs into the 10. Wide to the 5 and to the goal line and into the end zone. Touchdown, Ezekiel Elliott of Ohio State. 9-yard run by the sophomore from St. Louis, Ezekiel Elliott, 27-20. Ohio State. Jones in a shotgun. Elliott to his right. Snap to Jones. Gives it Elliott. Elliott going to right side. Elliott punches it into the end zone for a touchdown. Ezekiel Elliott, his third running TD of the night for Ohio State on a 2-yard run, 34-20 Buckeyes. Resets in the shotgun. Cardale Jones gets the snap. Jones gives it Elliott. Straight ahead goes Ezekiel Elliott. Touchdown. Fourth of the night for the Ohio State sophomore tailback. Marcus Mariota in the shotgun. Gets the snap. Drops back at his 35 to pass. Mariota bumps off one defender. Rolls to the right. Tries to elude another one. And yet another one. Rolls to his left at his own 30. Mariota just flings that one down the left side of the field. Intercepted by Eli Apple at the 25. And Apple will go to the ground at the 32. And that's it. Ohio State national champions for the 8th time as they defeat Oregon 42-20.
Let's go back to 2015 national championship game. It's Oregon,
yeah,
Ohio
let's
State.
Back. You know, let's go back, John, because I picked Oregon in that game. I recall that. You called me and I said, I'm going against the grain here. I'm picking Oregon. And look what the Ducks gave me.
I know.
To eat.
How did that go over when you're the columnist in Columbus and it's the national title game and you're picking Oregon? You have to like turn your phone off that week?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I deserved it, right? I think I picked Miami in 2002. So, you know, I had a habit of like trying to see a little differently than through rose-colored glasses or scarlet-colored glasses. But it's all good. That was a great Ohio State team. It was a great Oregon team, right? And Ohio State, you know, just had a few more athletes, and Urban Meyer had it really cooking.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, it was a great game, a lot of great NFL talent on that field.
Yeah, Marcus Mariota for Oregon, your Heisman winner that year. But, yeah, it was like Cardale Jones at quarterback. Oregon couldn't tackle him. Ezekiel Elliott too big. Ohio State just wore people out, and they continue to do that. They've got athletes, they've got size. What are your favorite memories from covering Ohio State over the years?
I think probably it gets back to, you know, those games, but mostly it always ends up getting back to Michigan. You know, that long historic rivalry with the Michigan Wolverines. And I think the 2006 game when they were both undefeated and, you know, Bo Schembechler died the day before, the Michigan iconic coach. And there's a moment of silence at Ohio Stadium to honor Bo. And number one, Ohio State versus number two, Michigan. And it's, you know, it ends up being one of the great games, 42-39. And I think that's the one game that I'm always going to recall. I actually watched it from on the field. I had a field pass, and I said, I'm going to take in this perspective today. And so I'm always going to remember that. But, you know, again, it's just the huge passion, the crowds, wherever you go, there's fans following Ohio State. So I think mostly it's just the attention that the program gets. You always feel like you're part of something that so many people care about.
Todd Jones with us. You know, you got Oregon fans who, you know, they want badly to be part of this playoff. You've got Ohio State fans that have been part of it, you know, and of course, now they're talking about playoff expansion and, you know, including the West Coast in the playoff and all that. So everybody's excited about this game, but Oregon did not play well in their opener. You know, Ohio State's got some extra prep. This game's in Columbus. I mean, it just feels like it's going to be stacked in Ohio State's way. Give us an idea of the difference between winning and losing this game for the Ohio State program. Is this a big, big game as you see sort of the landscape of the program, or is this a blip? They're going to play Alabama in a non-conference game in a couple years, and, you know, football just continues to be a machine there.
No, I don't think it's a blip at all. And, I think, if anything, the Ohio State fans are, you know, they have a lot of respect for Oregon. You know, they played them not only in that national championship game, they played them in the Rose Bowl a few years back under Jim Tressel. They know Oregon, and they know what Oregon has done. And, yeah, Oregon didn't play well last week, but neither did everybody in the Pac-12 except UCLA. So, I mean, I think the thing that's going to make this game so special here in Columbus, it's the first home game since the shutdown with COVID. You know, yes, they played at home last year, but there was no fans in attendance other than there was a few games where they have like maybe 3,000, mostly parents and friends. So you're going to have 100,000 people there, and you're going to have tailgating, and you're going to have all the rituals that people miss with the band and everything. And unfortunately for Oregon, the game starts at noon in Columbus, which is 9 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, we're well aware of that.
West Coast time. So I think it's a little bit set up against Oregon in that regard. But I think people here are just so excited to get back to the stadium, get back to game day, and, you know, to play a quality opponent. You know, it's not a game you can take lightly. You know, it's not just some hyphen school coming in here. It's a program that's had a lot of success and a good reputation. So it's going to be a fun day.
All right, Todd, before I cut you loose, it's an idea. You've seen visiting teams come into Ohio Stadium. I've covered a couple there. But it's an idea of what Oregon is up against just from an atmosphere standpoint. You touched on it a little bit, but you've seen teams walk in there. Does it affect their play early in games?
I think so, and even if it's not early, I think what you often see is late in the first half. You know, if it's been close, Ohio State gets a big play right before halftime. They come out, and then their depth starts wearing them down. The noise is it's pretty loud. I mean, it's an old canyon, 100,000 people just on top of you. And I think you just need poise, and, you know, it helps to have veteran players, you know, especially a quarterback or key positions, because you got to hold it together. You can't afford blunders and you know, you could easily get steamrolled early. It's like fighting a champ or, you know, he's known for knockouts. You got to hang in there early and then try to keep it close and just play mistake-free. But it'll be quite a challenge. But, you know, if you can avoid the mistakes and play sound and run the ball and kill some clock, you know, we'll see.
All right, you can listen to his podcast. I'll tweet out a link to it. Press Box Access is the podcast. He's formerly of the Columbus Dispatch and a whole bunch of other places, award-winning journalist Todd Jones. Thank you. I'm buying you dinner, and we will hang out. I appreciate you, my friend.
John, thanks so much. I'm looking forward to seeing you.
Wow. Love that interview with Todd Jones, Columbus Dispatch. Really good stuff. Really good flavor. All right? Later in the program, you're going to hear Bill Benowitz. He is the beat reporter at the Columbus Dispatch who covers Ohio State. He was not impressed after seeing Oregon a week ago. Were you impressed? Were you impressed with Oregon's performance a week ago? Well, Rabinowitz was not, and he's going to talk about what might.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.